Amen. Okay, so we're going to have Arthur in just a moment. So first of all, are there anybody else I should be welcoming? Kay, welcome. Nice to see you. This is Kay Kiladze, everyone. Anybody else? Any other introductions we want to do? Okay. So I'm going to ask Arthur to come on up, and Arthur is going to speak to us about Jesus, name above all names. After that, we're going to go into a time of worship to respond to the word that Arthur has for us today. We're going to hear from Kat and Carl about what's happening with our youth a little later on, and we'll take some time to pray and to intercede. So that's kind of the running order for this afternoon. So let's pray for Arthur. Father in heaven, thank you for our brother. Thank you for the work that he's put into this talk. Thank you that you want to open our hearts and our minds to you, Lord Jesus, your very self, the name above all names. You want us to know you better, to love you better, to be transformed more by your glorious and wonderful Holy Spirit. So, Lord, may your anointing be on Arthur now as he speaks to us. May your words come through to our hearts. May they be quickened and strengthened for your glory. Amen. Over to you, sir.
So when I was growing up, my dad was called Big Arthur. So I got the title of Wee Arthur, which was fine when I was four. But every time I go back to Northern Ireland, I'm still Wee Arthur. So when you're 50 or 55 and your aunt comes to the door and said, "Oh, it's Wee Arthur," it doesn't work the same as it worked when you were four. So first of all, I just wanted to apologize to all the men in Antioch. It's me again. So my talks are a bit like London buses, nothing for ages and then three come at once. So apologies, but I do have some friends that are going to help me today with my talk. So you don't have to listen to me for 20 minutes. I've got some friends helping me out. So I want to talk about Jesus, the name above every name, but I want to start just following on from what Hugh did by thinking about the significance of names, the significance of naming, and also what the name Jesus means. So I want to just start in the book of Genesis, and in the scriptures we see right in the very beginning that the giving and receiving of a name is very important. It's a sacred thing. And in Genesis 2, Adam's commanded by God to name the animals. The Lord God brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. And names are important throughout the book of Genesis. And obviously some of the key figures in the book of Genesis had their names changed by God. So Abram became Abraham in Genesis 17. So no longer a name that means exalted father, but a name that means father of all nations. And then Jacob became Isaac in Genesis 32. Sorry, Jacob became Israel. I've written it down wrong. In Genesis 32, which is a name, Israel, that means the one who has struggled with God. And there are many other examples in both the Old Testament and the New Testament of people having their names changed by Jesus or by God the Father. So Simon becomes Peter in Matthew 15. Saul becomes Paul, for instance. And so from the naming of people and the naming of things, I want to look at God's name as well. So the Jewish people have a high regard for the sacredness of God's name. And in Jewish tradition, the divine name could only be uttered once a year, and it could only be uttered on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. It could only be uttered by the high priest that year, and it could only be uttered when he was within the Holy of Holies. And the high priest, if you look at both Exodus and Leviticus, the high priest could be struck dead if they did something that they were commanded to do and they didn't do it, or if they were commanded to do something and they didn't do it. And you had to get it right. You had to follow the procedures that were laid down in Exodus and Leviticus in terms of offering worship, offering atonement for the people. Otherwise, you would be dead. And in fact, the high priest had bells all around the hem of his robe, and those bells tinkled when he went into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifice. And if they stopped tinkling, it meant that the high priest was dead. So that's just how serious God takes being in his presence. That's how serious the name of the name of the Lord is. Nothing unclean can be near him because he's pure holiness, he's perfection, and he's without blemish. So the giving of a name, God's name or people's names in Scripture, is a holy thing. And many, many times the name itself speaks of the person's being and nature. And the person bestowing the name has authority over the life of the person who's been named. So that's why fathers give names to their sons in the Old Testament. So in this context, why was the Son of God named Jesus? Well, there's two accounts, both in Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, which is the story of the Annunciation, where the archangel Gabriel announced his name to Mary, and then subsequently where he spoke to Joseph in a dream. And this is where I'm going to ask for a bit of help from Jonathan, first of all, and then I think Cesar. And the next one. So the angels appeared to both Mary and Joseph. Thank you both. To say, his name shall be Jesus. And as Shu's already told us, Jesus or Yeshua or Joshua in Hebrew or Jesus in Greek means Yahweh saves or God saves. And it's a name that was given to him from heaven. So the authority that God has gave him his name. And the meaning of the name is something that only God can do. Save people from their sins, as John 3:16 reminds us. But the name of Jesus or Yeshua immediately reminds us of two other Joshuas in Jewish history. And I just want to remind us of those two Joshuas. One of them is pretty obvious to us, but I'll talk about another one as well. The first one's Joshua, son of Nun, who was the conqueror, who was the general, who assisted Moses and then succeeded Moses, brought his people into the promised land. And through Joshua, God saves his people. Because he brings them through the Jordan, he brings them through into the promised land, and they claim their inheritance. They defeat their enemies, and in this way, Joshua is a type of Jesus. He's a foreshadowing of Jesus, because Jesus has conquered our real enemies. He's conquered sin and death and separation from God, and he's brought us into our inheritance, both as his people now, but also in the eternal life that he promises to us and that Mary's already experiencing. But there was a second Joshua who I'd just like to mention today as well, and that was Joshua, son of Jozadak. And he was the high priest when the Jews left Babylon and returned to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. So this is in the time of Ezra. And in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 11, Joshua is crowned, and that's something that wasn't ever seen before, because under the Mosaic law, priests could not be kings. But Joshua the high priest, again, is in some ways a prefigurement of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is both king and the great high priest, Jesus who offers sacrifice for our sins. So in Zechariah 6:11, it says, "Take the silver and gold and make a crown and set it on the head of the high priest, Joshua, son of Jozadak. Tell him, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch, and he will branch out from his place and build the temple of the Lord. It is he who will build the temple of the Lord, and he will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne, and he will be a priest on his throne, and there will be harmony between the two." So because of these two great heroes, the name Jesus was a name that people would want to give to their sons. It was a popular name for Jewish boys, which is why in some ways Jesus was referred to not just as Jesus, but Jesus of Nazareth. And Thomas Aquinas reflected on those Joshuas and said, all these Joshuas were saviors in a particular and temporal sense. But in the sense of spiritual and universal salvation, this name is proper to Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about Jesus Christ now. Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it's a holy name. And I remember growing up in Northern Ireland, and as a family, we would say the rosary every night. And every time the name of Jesus was mentioned, everybody would bow their heads. It was the one thing where you knew people were paying attention, is everybody bowed their heads just to honor Jesus. So the name of Jesus was really honored in a particular way in my family growing up. In the Catholic Catechism, paragraph 2666 talks about Jesus in this way. It says, but the one name that contains everything is the one that the Son of God received in his incarnation, Jesus. The divine name may not be spoken by human lips, but by assuming our humanity, the Word of God hands over to us and we can invoke it. Jesus, Yahweh saves. The name Jesus contains all, God and man, and the whole economy of creation and salvation. To pray Jesus is to invoke him and to call him within us. His name is the only one that contains the presence it signifies. Jesus is the risen one, and whoever invokes the name of Jesus is welcoming the Son of God, who loved him and gave himself up for him. So I'd like to just look at two scriptures that we both know, that we all know very well, that speak a bit more into this. So Philippians 2 and Ephesians 1 show us why the name of Jesus is so powerful. So we'll start with Philippians 2, verses 6 to 10. Thanks, Lucy. Amen. And Ephesians 1. Thank you. So two passages that are worth some deeper and further meditation. Two passages that show us the power and the authority that the name of Jesus has, a name above every name. So why is Jesus the name above all names? Going back to the Annunciation, it's the name that God the Father gave him to show his being and his nature. His work that we read about in Philippians about dying on the cross meets our greatest need, which is salvation from sin and victory over sin. On the cross, he completely fulfilled the meaning of his name, God Saves. And the name of Jesus represents the embodiment of God's divine love for us, his mercy, his grace, and his power. He understands us. He understands our need, it says. He was found in appearance as man, so he understands us and he understands what it's like to be a human. And at the same time as that, he is sovereign. He's sovereign over our needs. He's sovereign over our lives. So I want to just talk maybe a little bit practically about what the name of Jesus means for us, or what the name of Jesus means for each one of us personally. So you remember I said in the Old Covenant, the high priest had the privilege of saying God's name once a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. And he was able to do that for the forgiveness of sins. That was the only reason he could enter into the Holy of Holies. But through Christ and in the Holy Spirit, we have the privilege of living in the name of Jesus. We have the privilege of living and knowing that God saves, and having that name, Jesus, live in us as well through the Holy Spirit. The all-powerful name of Jesus changes the universe, and it changes the universe starting with our lives and starting with our hearts. So what does it mean for us? Well, first of all, it means salvation, the redemption of our sins. This is good news. This is what the good news is. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Now, we think that means every other knee apart from ours, don't we? We think it means it's everything else out there. But for us, it means everything that's in us that is not now bowing to Jesus. All of our sin, all of the things we keep in the dark, all of the things we don't want to repent of, Jesus says every knee will bow, and that means everything within us will bow the knee to Jesus and is called to bow the knee to Jesus. In John 1:12, John declares that we find salvation in the name of Jesus. He declares this truth. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God. And that's what salvation is. It's crying out to him. It's believing in his name. It's calling upon his name and believing that his name saves, because that's what it means. And it's through his name, and only through his name, that we receive forgiveness of sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. You know, the Jesus Prayer is something that we talk about these days, but the Jesus Prayer is actually an ancient prayer, particularly for the Eastern Church, and it recognizes this. It recognizes this truth. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. In Acts 4:12, we hear, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's a pretty conclusive verse, especially if you're not a Christian. It says that Muhammad, that name doesn't work. Buddha, Krishna, those names don't work. Or any other name cannot give forgiveness of sins, cannot bring us to salvation, cannot bring us to eternal life with God. Only Jesus, only the name of Jesus can save us from our sins. And as Christians, when we speak his name, we're not just uttering syllables, but we're declaring our belief in his divinity and his victory over sin and death and his authority over all things, as Ephesians and Philippians reminds us. And when we put our faith in Jesus, we're not just believing in a name, but we're believing in the person of Jesus Christ. We're believing in his death and resurrection and his promise to us of eternal life. And Romans 10:13 reminds us that the power of salvation in Jesus' name is available to all. So if you're not sure that Jesus died for you, this is what Romans 10:13 says. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. Okay, in the name of Jesus, we see miracles and healings. We see lives transformed. We see people set free. We see chains broken as well. And one of the most vivid illustrations of the power of Jesus' name comes in the form of miracles. In the book of Acts, the disciples performed miraculous works. They healed the sick. They cast out demons. They even raised the dead, and they did it all in the name of Jesus. Acts 3:6 is the story of Peter's first miracle. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And all of us can say that. What I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the Lord do this in your life. All of us can say that. In Acts 19, there's an interesting story about the seven sons of Sceva. and they attempted to cast out demons, and they were using the name of Jesus. But these men didn't know who Jesus was. They didn't know Jesus. They weren't believers, and instead they were seeking admiration. They were seeking money from others by attempting to misuse the power of the name of Jesus for their own gain. And when they did that, the demon asked them, "Who are you?" They said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" So there's no power in just saying the name of Jesus. You have to know the person of Jesus. You have to have belief and faith in him, and we do. We know Jesus as our Lord. We know Jesus as our Savior. We've received the Holy Spirit, and we've all seen in different ways his work of healing and his work of restoration in our lives. We've seen his mercy. We've seen his love. And so the Lord wants us to be those people who are bold in calling on his all-powerful name to break chains, to restore lives, to pray for healings, to pray for miracles, because God lives in us. And in Jesus' name, we have authority in prayer. So Jesus himself gave his followers the authority to use his name in prayer with the expectation that God will act. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, John 14:13. So praying in Jesus' name means praying in and with his authority and asking God the Father to act upon our prayers because we make them through faith in his Son, Jesus our Savior. Praying in Jesus' name means praying in line with Jesus' character, and we know Jesus' character because he's in us. So it means having the same heart as Jesus has for the people around us. It means praying prayers that are aligned with his will because we know him and we know what he wants. So praying in Jesus' name demonstrates our faith in God's power to act, to heal. And then finally, in Jesus' name, we're able to do spiritual warfare. Going back to those passages in Ephesians and Philippians 2, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. St. John Climacus was a desert father, and he said, "Flog your enemies. Flog your enemies with the name of Jesus, for there is no weapon more powerful in heaven or on earth." So in spiritual warfare, the name of Jesus serves as our defense, but it also serves as our attack. We use the name of Jesus to break down spiritual strongholds. And as believers, we can use his name to resist the devil, and he will flee from us, as it says in James 4. It is the powerful weapon against the forces of darkness. And invoking Jesus' name in prayer and spiritual warfare signifies our faith in his power and our faith in his authority over all things. It signifies that we believe what it says in Philippians 2 and Ephesians 1. It's a declaration that we're not alone in the things that we struggle with, but that we have a powerful advocate in Jesus Christ. Demons fear and fly, that song says, and demons fear and fly because they know their power is broken. I just want to finish with a testimony. It was going to be about our family, but in our family, we've actually seen significant deliverance from evil spirits in Jesus' name. We've seen demons flee. But the examples we've got are a little bit too personal to share today. And then I was looking on Cor Lumen Christi's website. Damien Steyn, who is the leader of the Cor Lumen Christi community, has got some amazing testimonies about the name of Jesus and how the name of Jesus brings healing. What I really wanted to show was a testimony that showed you directly the power and authority of the name of Jesus. So the testimony I'm going to share is the story of a lady called Charlene Bodie, which I think is the next slide. Thanks, Marco. So you won't have heard of her unless you went to a Premier Women's Conference in 2015. So Rebecca and some other women went to a Premier Women's Conference in 2015. And Charlene's a lady who lives in the UK now, but she's originally from Denver. And she tells a story that she remembers her mum's faith, and she remembers how her mum brought her up to know the power of the name of Jesus. And she said that her mum said to her, "The enemy will either bend the knee or the enemy will flee when you use the name of Jesus. And her testimony is that she was abducted when she was 16 years old by a murderer and a rapist who just escaped from prison. And she was thrown into his car, and she prayed to Jesus, "What should I do?" And Jesus said, "Use my name." So she did use Jesus' name, and she used it timidly at first. She said to the man, "Mister, do you know Jesus?" And he ignored her. And then she said a little louder, "Do you know Jesus Christ?" And he started screaming and yelling at her. So in the end, she yelled back and she said, "Do you know Jesus Christ and the authority that he has?" And the man threw her out of the car because he was clearly fleeing from the name of Jesus. So I wanted to use that story because it shows you the power and the authority of the name of Jesus for any situation that you're in. So let me just finish. Let me just conclude with a few things, and then we can go into worship. So the name of Jesus is a name that the devil hates. It's a name that the world opposes, but God blesses it, and God allows us to call on it in any circumstance in our life. The mighty name of Jesus is the key that unlocks the door of prayer and the treasury of God's grace. It's the weapon that defeats the enemy, and it's the motivation that compels us in our discipleship, in living the life that we're living in Antioch, and in our service. It's the name that causes our hearts to rejoice because we know salvation, and our lips to sing his praise because of that. So I encourage us today to pray the Jesus Prayer for every situation in your life, anything that looks impossible or difficult to you, whether you're struggling with your faith or praying for a miracle or fighting spiritual opposition. May the name of Jesus unlock heaven for all of us and all the grace and power and mercy and goodness of God. I'll just pray. Lord, I pray for all of us in Antioch that the name of Jesus would always be on our lips and in our hearts, that the kingdom of joy and love might be released in all of us. To your glory we pray, Lord. Amen.